You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
And he hits me up with, show starts in 10. And I said, you must be kidding.
Yeah.
You said, be there at 7:30, show's at 8. He goes, they made a mistake. My fans are already in the room.
Whoa.
The room's already seated, dude. Show starts in 10. I look, and now we went from 25 minutes to get to the venue to 45 because of traffic.
Yikes.
I got there at 7:48. Show has 20 minutes left. There's obviously no way. I'm not going on after the headliner.
Close the ball.
Thank you, Paul, for opening up. Thank you for one, selling all the tickets, and two, opening up for me with an hour of material. Now, quickly, let me tell you about when I bought the wrong underwear.
It's the cool again, stupid.
Bro, Jamal said, Alexis, what are you wearing for the trophy parade? He's clearly talking about Arsenal. And I'll tell you, nothing but a thong, baby.
Okay.
Yes,
Alexis is
back. I'm going to be out there doing the running, man, and nothing but a speed on my G.
Bro, you got to, you know, when we get 300 Patreon subscribers, we know what we're doing.
200 is Daisy's house. We're going
to, yes,
we're going to my mom's house. It's right. Like the Shoreditch house, but where you get yelled at and hit.
Okay. It's a different kind of pool side. It's a pool of blood.
Yeah, 100%. Get there as soon as you walk in, bro.
Hello, everybody. Yes, Alexis is back from London. Welcome to the Cooligans. We're excited he's back. Shout out to, for last week, our guest co-host, Tom Boger, who came by.
Also, our guest co-host, or our third Cooligan, Lil' Tom Davies.
Lil' Tom, that's his new name now, yeah. Lil' Tom Davies.
Lil' TD, Lil' Touchdown, Tommy Davis.
if you haven't seen or listened to our interview with Tom Davies of Everton, please go do that right now. Shut this off and go tune into that.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Wait till we're done and you go, yo, I want more Cooligans, but I wish there was an English guy left.
Correct. So go check that out.
You ever seen Tom Davies laugh more in an interview? I haven't.
I have not.
And have you ever seen him enjoy himself as much as he did in our interview? The answer is no.
I mean, that's it. I mean, like, this is the commercial for the interview with Tom Davies.
And I'm going to let you in on a little. There was some stuff Everton has us to catch. You would have laughed. He would have been laughing even more.
I was still a little too spicy.
Right. Okay? Oh, I guess we shouldn't have pulled up that easel and say, point at the players that are trash.
Okay. Why do you, Christian, have the whole Arsenal roster on this paper?
Damn, bro. It took an hour because, yo, Tommy D hates everybody, bro.
Jamal said they had Pablo Escobar hosting the show because of Tom's mustache. Yeah, Bobby. Look, if you're a person under, what, maybe under 50 years old and you have a mustache, it's gonna be a talking point.
It's a fashion accessory at that level.
Yeah.
If you're an older person, you're like, oh, that maybe is a retired detective who doesn't want to let it go.
Exactly, you know. Right?
But when you're Tommy Scoops and how do I say that? I mean, I got a thing.
I was
gonna call it a squirt catcher, and I was trying not to, dude. And then you.
Good thing you didn't say that.
I mean, you left the door open, bro. So I said it, yo.
Wow. Okay. You know what? Yeah, the tone of the show is very different from last week.
Oh, he wasn't talking about this. Did you see the clip? We got to react to this. Did you see the clip of the Great British Bake Off doing Taco Day?
Yes, I did see that. What was it? What did they call? I saw them slicing the avocado like it was a pear.
Uh-huh, bro. They were like, you whittling a stick.
That was wild.
Bro, is this how, like, I don't know, like how, like, whatever, Romanians feel when they make a Romanian cake? And they're like, this shit ain't right.
It was, look.
First of all, they kept calling it a taco.
Taco is, yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's rough. But then the lady's like, oh, I've got to put on more Glockimolo. And I was like, yo, Glockimolo is a great name for a rapper, though.
I listen to that. I'm like, you put them on Rap Caviar.
Yeah, damn, bro. Yo, Glockimolo got bars, bro. I hope he gets out, yo. Free Glockimolo, dude.
Oh, my goodness.
She said Glockimolo.
Glockimolo is...
Bro, my brain hurt because I'm like, I see how you got there. I see how you got there, but I need to see the work it took for your brain to turn Guacimolo. I can't even say it.
It's
Guacamole to Glockimolo, bro.
It is... Yeah, when somebody says that, and I'm like, you know, it's one of those things where
you know the taco's gonna be trash.
I pretend to know what they're talking about because it's like
I'm not explaining it. Yeah, I ain't getting into it.
No, I'm not gonna get started with this. Okay,
does Christian know how to eat a burriolo? Said Nick Red. Yeah,
I top it with my Glockimolo.
Yeah, dude.
Get a knife and fork and get working, bro. Yeah, dude. What are you talking about?
You open it up, bro. Everybody knows that's how you eat a burrimolo.
Okay.
Glockimolo.
All right. Today is Prem Show, and you know maybe. 10 minutes in, we're finally getting to the sport. But no, Alexis did spend some time in London. You did a bunch of cool things. You got to you played poker,
bro. Day one.
I
took a rack off that country. Day one.
All right, yo, pay me in all pounds, bro. In all quid,
thousand
dog.
Pounds. I ain't got the shoulder strength to carry that. And they're like, "Oh, that's money." Oh, I got that.
No, but yeah, Alexa did play in the poker game with True Jordy
at the kickoff, the showdown, the Poker Stars showdown.
Yeah,
shouts to Poker Stars.
So maybe for our American listeners who maybe don't consume a lot of British content. Football/soccer content. It's
a big deal.
It's a big deal. There's a lot of legitimate.
You could buy a lot of Glockimolo with that kind of money, bro. Like,
whoa, how much Glockimolo did I win? Did you give everybody Glockimolo? So
Jamal said fake poker. I don't know where this comes from. No one said that before, but that's insane, bro. Their table has the technology in it where you move the cards over the thing and it puts on your screen. Obviously, we can't see it if you're playing, but on the screen for the viewer, it puts what cards you have.
I thought somebody was manually doing that.
I thought so too. I'm like, this is insane. I thought you lifted it up and a little camera saw it or something.
Right.
Because that's how they do it on ESPN. Yo, this but is not on Twitch, the kickoff, or True Jordy's channel.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, the bad beat that Rory got on my car, I was out. I think I had less than 10%. Of winning on the last card.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'm done. But in my head, I'm like, I made a bunch of jokes. I did what I came to do.
Mm-hmm.
The chat was relatively positive about me. I'm like, yo, I'm good to go. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then that bitch flipped over. I think it was another queen. And I was like, what? Yo, everyone's like, yo, that's the wildest bad beat in the history of the show. People are like, that's the wildest hand on the history of the show. Rory was livid afterwards, bro. We all went to get a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory, we'd be talking about some other shit. We're like, oh, yeah. I said, well, whatever happened to this channel? Like, I mentioned, like, oh, I used to watch this channel that was based in England. I haven't seen it. And we're all, like, talking about, like, everyone's remembering, like, oh, yeah, they used to do this. And out of nowhere, Rory's like, he caught me on a coin. You know? Oh, this dude hurt.
It's just literally, like, non-flashbacks that happened 12 minutes ago. Yeah, or whatever.
Like, each card has, like, the thing in your credit card.
RFID.
But the table's like this thick, the technology that's in it, right? So you slide it over the thing and it tells you what. So they know what your odds are. I don't know until I watch it back. But all I know is one time in my ear, they're like, you never slid the cards over the thing. I was like, oh, shit, my bad. Mm. You know what I mean? So I had to slide it over. Bro, I haven't played poker in 8 years. America, though.
Dude, that's it. I mean, look, it just showed the American excellence came through. But congrats. Yeah, no. If you haven't, it's on Twitch. You can still watch it. It's pretty incredible.
It's wild.
Yeah, it is wild, but very, very fun. So shout out to everybody in London that answered Alexis's text. So it worked out. Okay, so let's begin. Where should we start? Should we start with Arsenal or should we start with the other news?
No, let's start with Arsenal.
Let's start with Arsenal. Okay.
So I got a chance to be at the North London Derby yet again.
Mm-hmm.
And yet again, it was a 3-1 victory. A little good game. Different. Little good game. Incredible game, but a little
controversy,
different energy.
Filled with controversy. Okay, some people.
I don't think so.
Not happy about this red card.
You know what? It's one of those things where if it happened to my team, I would say it shouldn't have been called on the pitch. And if you look at it, you probably won't say to yourself, like, oh, that's a red card. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't have overturned. You wouldn't have made it a red card had the ref not called it. But the ref called it, and you're Tottenham. You're going to bottle things, bro. You know?
That's how they do it.
That's just what it is. So, being there, the energy was so different on this one, because I remember last year when I was at the North London Derby, and it was also a 3-1 victory, it was a release of a lot of tension that started with those three losses. Remember that last season?
Yeah.
Arsenal have a really bad bad loss against Brentford, and then obviously we lost the next two matches. And then when we get to this North London Derby, it's like, yo, we got to win this one. This energy was different. This energy felt like, yo, they need to come beat us. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We've started so strong, and I think the conversation has been over the last few weeks, are they contenders? Are they contenders? Are Arsenal title contenders? We're asking the question today, are they for real? I think after the North London Derby and beating Liverpool, you have to start. People were like, when are they going to get tested? I think you now have to consider us one of the clubs. You have to consider Arsenal one of the clubs that other teams test themselves against and not the opposite.
I could say, yeah, that feels fine. But, I mean, in the game against Liverpool, all right, the penalty. You saw the penalty.
Of course.
Some people calling it soft. Some people saying you had to call it, regardless of, you know, if you're a fan of it was the team
it
or
was,
not.
It was a soft one, but it's the type of soft penalty that gets called against Arsenal all the time.
Well,
this might be one of the first times that we've gotten that call.
The Merseyside derby, this is the problem with the red card in the North London derby.
Mm-hmm.
And then the foul called in, not necessarily the foul called against Jesus, but the red card in North London derby. There was a similar, go back to the Merseyside derby. Virgil van Dijk had raked, I forgot what player, but similar to what Emerson did to Martinelli, right?
Mm-hmm.
No red card.
Wait, no, that was Jesus. Emerson Royal did that to Martinelli.
Correct, yes, in North London derby. But there was, you know, I hate to bring Everton into this, but no I'm just
one,
saying.
What no one asked for, but go ahead.
It's just the... the consistency argument that happens a lot in the Premier League.
I mean, it's difficult because these are moments where they tread the line on it could go either way.
Right. So did you feel that the Emerson, what is it, the red card, was it, could it have been a yellow? Because it seemed, I thought that was a red. And I also thought the one against the one that Virgil van Dijk did a couple weeks back was also a red. It seems like if you are... basically putting your studs into, you know, the calf anywhere, right? Like, and it is, as soon as you get your the studs on an actual calf and it's not, you're not going for the ball, that's,
once, I mean,
that's
this
a red
is,
to me all the time.
This is the risk of lifting your leg up that high.
Right.
Is that if you happen to hit a player instead of the ball, you may catch a red. You may be sent off. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, I think there's probably more question about the penalty than there is the red card. I know Tottenham fans were screaming about the red card, but I haven't really heard anyone else complaining about it.
Uh-huh.
And when you look at it, it was one of those things where I'm like, if this wasn't a derby, you would see a play like that, or you would see that happen, and you'd say to yourself, that's a dangerous play. And that's exactly what it was. But I guess because, first of all, the ref was kind of calling it fairly loose. He was letting him play before that. And then for that to happen and all of a sudden be a red, part of it, I think, is the reaction of the player. You know what
right.
I mean? When Gabriel Jesus goes down in the box against Liverpool, he's holding all types of body parts.
Exactly, exactly.
You know what I mean?
He learned it in the Brazilian Academy.
All I'm going to say is, good job, buddy. Get back out there.
You know what I mean? If he's on your team, yeah, you're just like, I'm proud. I'm glad this man is...
couple of dark arts.
wearing an Arsenal shirt. It's all good.
You know? But that's part of the risk of going in that hard. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And to be honest, I don't think the foul against Alisson got called when he basically like punched Jesus as opposed to going for the ball. I don't think that got called. And, you know, maybe if we look at it a little bit slower, it probably isn't. But that even felt more like an offense than what he got the penalty for. But again, these are the types of things, calls that goes against Arsenal. When you're winning, these types of things go your way. This is part of that luck you need. This is part of that, you know... the overall sort of things to bounce your way that
right.
you need in order to be a champion.
Okay. Yeah. This is.
Have I spun this well enough, just, dude?
It's just the Arsenal winning mentality.
Uh-huh. This is what Arteta made, goes
that
over.
That made the ref call that penalty.
Bro, I mean, he saw the excellence, and he was like, "Why would you stop that excellence?"
Okay. So I'm just glad the Premier League referees, you know, are on board with Arteta's plan.
Shouts to everybody joining us in the chat. I see some people, particularly Andrew Johnson, wanting us to talk about Caleb Porter getting fired. That's tomorrow.
we'll talk about that. Literally, we just saw it a couple of minutes ago. But yes, Caleb, you know, we'll have the heat for Caleb.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. But it looks, I thought at first when I saw you put this on, I thought that was a Columbus Crew kit.
But dude,
it is not. That
Bruce
is.
Bruce Dorman. Shout out to Bruce Dorman who gave us these kits.
And
my name is on the back of it. Trust me, I'll turn around.
I swear. but also, they kind of a little bit of a comeback in Der Klassiker against Bayern. Did you see that? Bayern came out quick, scored a bunch, and then BVB came out and drew the game. Yeah.
Yes. Anthony Modest with the late equalizer after missing a great opportunity early in the game. Anyway, yeah. So yes, as an Everton fan, I'm upset all the time. Jamal just said that's a red card. Oh, no, he said, let me read the other one. He said, no red card because Everton are a tiny, minuscule club. Know your place, stay in your lane. Okay, thank you.
Jamal being Jamal. This is your show to do it. Also, Justin Freeberg called him Gabriel Vardinelli.
Ooh.
Very nice. I do have the question, though. You've watched Arsenal a couple of times. 9 matches, 8 wins, no draws, 1 loss against Manchester United where mistakes were made, but I think they learned from it. The triple sub was I think a bit of a mistake, but we'll learn from that. But you've seen now 9 matches. I've always said the first 10 matches of the season are a bit like, you know, when a boxer starts throwing a jab to see what the other team is going to do. You know what I mean? What the other fighter is going to do. The first 10 feel that way, but to walk out of this top of the league still, gotten points from 8 out of the 9 matches and to have them all be victories. You have to ask yourself, if Liverpool is considered out of contention already by being 14 points out of first, 14 points behind Arsenal, which is insane.
Yeah.
Can we say, are you ready to say, Christian Polanco, that Arsenal are, they're not pretenders. They are actual title contenders.
Yeah, I would say they're title contenders.
Would you list them as the best team in the league?
No, I still think it's Manchester City. Manchester City are just, I mean, unless... The best thing, I mean, I don't wish this on anybody, but the only thing that I think will stop Manchester City from winning
Injuries.
The league is an injury to Erling Haaland. I think that's really the only thing. Manchester City just look remarkable. Did you see Pep Guardiola in the interview after the game, after the Champions League game? And he doesn't even have the words. He doesn't know how to describe his own player. He's literally like, I don't know how he does. I don't know.
Bro.
He's the just man like, is as baffled as everybody else. He's just like, I don't know how he does it.
And they're like, Erling Haaland scores again. He scored in so many, blah, 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 so many. And he's just like, I know, right?
Crazy,
damn.
Bro.
Damn. You ever see that tweet, the text exchange somebody posted? It goes viral every once in a while. Where I guess a boss texts an employee who's off. He's like, oh, we're short-staffed today. And the employee goes, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
we know, yeah, bro, yeah.
We know why you're texting.
We hate to be in your position.
I know, right? Yo, let me know how that goes, though. You know, I'm not on my day off. That's Pep. Pep is like, I know, right?
Manchester City, I mean, they beat Southampton 4-0. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, what? Erling Haaland has 15 goals.
He's a cheat code.
He has 15 goals. I mean, it's just, I mean, everybody's already.
If he got injured today, he might still finish like top 4 in goals.
It's, 9 games. 9 games into the season, and he has 15 goals.
Bro, by the way, the English media is relentless against Rory Jennings.
Why?
Do you remember when Rory said, I don't think he's going to be that
good? Oh, yeah. You can't put that on the internet, bro. Nobody.
You know what, actually? What are your thoughts on this? Sky Sports, he said that on a show that's, it's a YouTube video, but it's Sky Sports. It's their studio. Sky Sports' main account tweeted that out recently. Him saying that. Feels a little rude, no?
Well, there's
because it's kind of like fanning the flame of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of vitriol against this guy. And I mean, the kid's getting roasted.
This is what you need to learn about probably most of sports media, but definitely football media in England is, bro, you got no friends. Nobody looking out for you. Nobody's trying. Nobody's going to. If somebody said, like, yo, you could either maintain a good friendship with somebody or get a tweet. Or
you could cook them for clout.
Cook them for clout. That'll get you, you know, 1.5 to 2 million views on something.
Oh, bro. They would show up in a chef's hat. Okay. Someone getting cooked.
They'd be like, how many YouTube ads?
Damn. Okay.
Dude. I think to some degree they see it as like, it's not personal. You know, it's all.
I do get he said it. Yeah, I get that.
Please do that to us. Do that with our takes, Sky Sports.
Bro, I said the U.S. women were going to destroy the Lionesses. So feel free to share whatever the hell we said.
Okay,
tag us. Yo, spell the name correctly, bro.
Make us look terrible. Yeah. Roast us. Okay, just hit that.
Sunday roast us, bro. How else can we entice you?
That's what I'm saying. Make sure you put that YouTube subscribe link in your roast.
And if you can, could you share the analytics with us so we can let Meadowlark know we hitting out here?
Yo, because the views and the clout, even if it's negative clout, bro.
Clout is clout, bro. Clout now on the internet.
Yo, the views don't know if you a good or bad person.
No, hell no.
It's a view.
Bro, and I just see a tally at the bottom. I don't know if you laughing at me.
So it does seem like, this is the interesting thing, and I was thinking about this recently about how, so Sky Sports, they can tweet something out like that. ESPN does it, ESPN FC, they get pretty egregious with that stuff because there's no face, there's no person that we're going to associate with the brand.
You
account.
Can't punch ESPN.
Exactly. You know? I'm just like, it sounds like a very regal name. I don't know where you come from exactly. I don't want problems after this.
Damn, this dude's just letters?
Wow, what are you, Elon Musk's kid? So, like, sometimes people think that, like, our account is going to be a little bit more wild or be a bit more brazen and do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But we actually can't do that because people can punch us. People can punch our faces.
Also, as comedians, we keep telling you where we're going to be every night. This is not a good look.
So they hide behind the brand account and go off.
Bro, I got an idea.
Go for it.
So we can be egregious. We need to start an account called like BSPN.
All right, I'm listening.
No one will know, bro.
Okay, Bryce Sports. Yeah.
Someone said, "I love you, Alexis," but you. Oh, I am Lucha said, "I love you, Alexis," but you guys ain't got nothing for Holland. You want to talk about wild take? I'm gonna give you a wild take, and I said this before anybody else, by the way, because I've seen some people mention this, but I've said this before. I said this on the Complex show, and I've said this on this show. I think Saliba might be the only center back that can potentially. I'm giving myself a lot of outs here.
Okay. You need to lean in hard. I want to make sure Sky Bleacher Report.
Sky, are you watching? Yo, BSPN, get my back, bro. I think Saliba might be the only center back that can slow Erling Haaland down, or at least give him a little bit of a. I don't want to call it a fight, but give him a little bit of a challenge.
Okay. I mean, I'm
possibly.
Not going to believe it until I see it. I honestly don't think anybody in the world, I don't think any center back in the world is giving Erling Haaland the difficult time.
Yeah, Michael Raymond said, clip it. And Justin Freeberg said, yo, that cold brew hitting Alexis something different today. I think so.
I don't think so. I think,
I'm not saying he's going to stop him.
Right.
I'm saying he might be the only one who could present a significant enough challenge to get him out of his game for part of the 90 minutes.
So somebody was saying, I only saw this because Scams, at Nigerian Scams, go follow him, he's great. But he had retweeted somebody else's
bro,
take.
We said ESPN and now there's a scammer in here called ESPN, bro.
Okay, no, you got hide user on the channel, right? Hide user? Anyway. You put user in timeout, which is just a great.
Yeah, you get a pow pow.
You go, okay, little spammer. You have to go to the corner. Okay, think about what you did. So the what was I saying?
Erling Haaland.
Erling Haaland. He's been crap. I lost my train of thought.
Oh, I'm sure it was hilarious.
Kirby
D said, I don't hate that take. The reason I'm tempering how far I'm willing to go is because it is Erling Haaland. And I know you were saying there's no one in the world. Odds are, if there is someone that can stop Erling Haaland, talking about him like he's a cyborg out of control in a bad movie.
So if you saw, he's gotten 3 hat tricks in the Premier League already. And if you, NBC had...
He might be less. Before this last weekend, he was 9 goals away from last year's Golden Boot winner.
Right.
With 30 matches left.
Yeah. It's gonna be insane. So, but he, if you watch him and the way he scores his goals, he doesn't need to touch the ball a lot. Oh, so this is what I was saying about scams. So I want to say this first. So somebody was basically saying... somebody tweeted, Erling Haaland is what Zlatan Ibrahimovic wishes he was or wishes he could be. And that's when it's kind of, it's going too far.
That's when you're too height.
Right, because as amazing of a goal scorer that Erling Haaland is, overall, I would say Zlatan Ibrahimovic is a better player and was a better player in his prime. Because
we're not even near Erling Haaland's prime yet.
I
think Erling Haaland.
We're not to the point where we're now putting down Zlatan because Erling Haaland is great and doing great. We're not there yet either.
Erling Haaland will end his career unless the injuries destroy him, having been a better striker than Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
I agree.
But, I think so. But you can't say that now.
But Zlatan
has done some crazy. What was that? Half pitch. It wasn't half pitch. It was like that 40-yard, bicycle kick against England.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude's had some luxurious career moments.
But the career moments are incredible. But for him to be, he's, 6'5"?
Michael Raymond said, Alexis is one more sip away from saying, only I can stop. I'm standing here with a pipe, and you're like, don't do it. And I walk out that door.
The Zlatan is an unbelievable dribbler for the how tall he is. And I just...
Zlatan could do it on his own.
Right. And Erling Haaland, I don't think can. And he is just surrounded by so many incredible players. I mean, look at...
Why wouldn't you do that, though?
Why wouldn't you do what?
Why wouldn't you surround him with great players?
No, I'm not saying he's doing the right thing. But all I'm saying is, as far as creating opportunities for himself, that isn't the type of player that he is. What he is better than Zlatan at, in my opinion, is the knowing where the ball is going to be before it ends up. He has Chicharito's
spacing.
Spacing.
Oh, you are going to get cooked,
bro. No, I don't care.
You're going to get cooked. But the good thing about Erling Haaland is his brain is like Chicharito.
But Chicharito you saw his first goal for Manchester United, which was the one that bounced off his face, and it's just like he's just always there. I can't explain why.
He is a, what do they call him, a fox in the box?
Look,
what your mom calls me, bro.
You got to respect his ability. Am I saying Chicharito is the greatest player in the world? No, I'm not saying that.
No, great spacing. But great timing.
But Zlatan, when you see the 3 hat tricks that he had, it's just not only does he know spacing and know where to be, kind of sort of predict
it
where the game is going to go.
Kind of like Dennis Rodman with rebounding.
Sure.
He don't even know how to explain. He's like, you can't explain instinct.
Yeah. That's why Pep was like, he didn't have words either.
Pep was like, I write the
set pieces. I do the thingy. Nothing. And then we score.
Bro, I don't even know. All I know is I put water and pasta and this came out. I don't know what happened in that pot.
So, when you see those goals, it is, obviously the awareness is incredible, but then also the effort. You can see that he is a very humble dude. That he's not playing with this huge ego. I saw an interview, a post match interview, with Jack Grealish. Jack Grealish said the same things. Like he's got the chemistry is great with the whole team, and he said at the Champions League match, he said that the goalkeeper, I forgot who they played, but the goalkeeper, after Haaland scored, said he walked up to Jack. He's just like, whoa, this guy's not human. He's like, yeah, I know. I don't know what that
is. I know, dude. He's like, I feel for you, bro. I don't want to be in goal against this guy.
So, look, I think this season is going to be a... I think he's going to have an absolutely remarkable year, and it's going to be a... I think it's going to be the type of season that changes the way we view the Premier League and the way we view just the way like a phenomenal, like the players like just broke into the world stage.
He is a generational talent.
Oh, without a doubt.
For sure.
Without a doubt.
Do you think they'll adjust rules for this player?
Oh, a little Shaq? Like Shaq changed the NBA?
There's precedent in American sports for something like this.
Yeah, yeah.
When somebody comes out who's so good, you'd be like, yo, we need to switch some of this up.
I wonder what you could possibly change because he doesn't really do anything that... What about his innate abilities make
you... One of the things he does
like,
really well, shouts to JJ Bull who did this on TIFO. We met some of the TIFO IRL people when we were in Germany.
Seb.
Shouts to Seb, bro. Seb's the homie. One of the things he said that he does really well is... If you were to draw a line from the outside of the penalty box, the outside of the width of the goals, so the goalposts, if you were to draw a line, he never, no matter where he is on a pitch, he doesn't leave that width. So he's always in the eye of the goal. He's never at an off angle. And it's one of the, it's not just that he's an exceptional finisher.
Yeah.
It's that he's also smart with where he moves. He just never leaves the width of the goal.
Yeah.
So no matter where he is, he's always in line for a shot. I mean, those types of things are like, that's not just innate. That is something you had to be taught. You have to remember to do that. That's something you have to practice at.
Right.
So it just goes to show he's not just this incredible striker. He does a bunch of other things. But obviously, he plays on a team that allows him to be that way. Like, you wouldn't be able to do that at Arsenal. You're swapping with Martinelli. You're swapping with Saka. You're swapping with Granit Xhaka sometimes. You know, so you wouldn't be able to do that. But you would be able to do that at the two places he played, one being BVB and the other one being Manchester City. So there are some really incredible things. But maybe there's, what would you do? Like a what's a 3 second rule in basketball in the paint? Like
three in the box, yeah. He can't be in the 18 yard box for more than 3 seconds.
That'd be kind of fire though.
You'll be doing a lot of like shots outside the box, right? That if you change,
you'd be rushing in, man, a lot of late runs.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a ridiculous game to watch. It would be way fewer goals, without a doubt.
Also, the stoppages would be absolutely out of this world.
A nice girl, Bruce, said there's nothing he does that could be stopped by a rule change. Yes.
That's not true.
You would have to fundamentally change the way the game is played.
No, we're not talking about adjusting slight rules. I mean, the NBA was way more physical back in the day.
Yes, make the soccer ball a bomb. I'm like, what? Wait, I don't know.
You know what? I think it'll change the game, dude.
Bro, that's like, I say bombs, but the interesting thing was, remember when we were in Germany and we were at the...
The football knot?
No. At the old Dortmund Stadium, right? And
old stadium is right behind Westfalen Stadion.
They were like reconstructing it.
Or was Signal Iduna Park.
Yeah, yeah. So they were reconstructing it, and they were like, they were telling us when we were doing the tour that
we had to stop construction
because they found old like Nazi bombs.
No, a World War II bomb.
World War II bomb.
That was still active.
That was still under the ground. I'm like,
stop playing football over this damn bomb,
yo,
dude.
You're like 30 feet away from me. Yo, stop.
Bro.
Get a metal detector. Figure it out.
I know, man. We could have done something. Bro, they got this thing that finds fish in the ocean. They got that on boats. Y'all can't just walk around with that, man.
Anyway, so interesting story. So...
Michael Raymond said, the only rule they can use to stop him is anyone named Haaland can't play in the English Premier League.
So a lot of people are making the point like, you know, he's making the Premier League a Farmers League. And I think it does two things. Him playing so well, it does the, you know, obviously it is an exciting thing to, he is playing in the most popular league in the world and he's scoring all these goals. But does it really show that maybe the Premier League isn't what we all sort of think it is?
Well, when he was at BVB and he was scoring a ton of goals, people were like, of course he does that in Germany.
And
you know what I mean?
In Austria as well for Salzburg.
Yeah. Of course he could do that in those leagues, right? And now that he's doing it in the Premier League, it's exposing one of two things. One, there is talent in those other leagues. You're not rating because they're in a different league. And two, he's just that good.
Yeah. Yeah. He is one of the I think there was some in the last game, maybe, I don't know if it was Southampton or some other team, but people are trying to get in his head. And it's just one of those things where he literally doesn't have to chirp at anybody, or it's just like, bro, I got 15 goals. I've been here 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. He, you know what he could do? He could put his arm around the center back and go, he's going to send me across. I'm going to go far post. And it won't stop you. You know what I mean?
Dude, I mean, what he did to Manchester United, and you saw, so that's the combination of his unbelievable awareness, but then his athleticism and long ass legs for whatever reason. Like, the dude.
Bro, he's got the gait of a horse, man.
He is. The passes, Bernardo Silva and Kevin De Bruyne and Grealish and all these guys, they must be like having a field day with, like, yo, I could put the ball literally anywhere and this guy's gonna get it before any defender. The ball that he sent to Varane, that he sent around Varane, you know, to the far post, and Haaland, like, throw. He just, the dude, he risks it all for every goal.
He puts it all out there. In fact, what you're saying is Cuco Sanchez, one of my favorite names in the chat. Mm. It sounds like we should know him. He also sounds like he played third base for the Yankees.
We all know Cuco.
Yeah. Yo, shouts to Cuco Sanchez. Rewatch some of Haaland's runs and box movements this season, and he's consistently drawing two defenders' attention. He's his own center of gravity for City off the ball.
Well, this is why.
How else are you going to stop him?
Phil Foden just putting up hat tricks along with.
Phil Foden got no one around him.
Phil Foden is just like, okay, you forgot. I'm from here, but dog, yeah. I play here.
This is my city, bro.
To have a game where two players score hat tricks in the Premier League makes it look like,
not a preseason game.
Not a preseason game.
It's a regular.
It makes
season
it look
game.
Like, oh, they played a bad. They played a really poor team, or like, this is my problem. It's like, where's the Premier League defending jokes and all this other stuff?
Well, this is the thing. I don't think this makes the Premier League look worse. I just think it makes him look that good, and I also think it makes the other leagues he's played in look like, all right, maybe there is talent there that we weren't seeing. Sure. You know what I mean?
Well, yes. So he's very good. I mean, look.
Let us know. Dude, if you could figure out a rule that would stop him, tweet at us. Do something. Put it in the comments.
Look, he's playing literally on the perfect team for the style of play, the style of player that he is. I mean, it's you have some of the best passers in the world, best like just a possession game.
He's also got the arguably the greatest coach of all time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And the what was the, there was that the goal, it wasn't a goal kick, but you know, Ederson hits the ball out and he hits it to like the center of the pitch. And the first, he's the striker. He's the number nine. He is in the middle of the pitch, diving, does a diving, he throws his leg out and he dove and threw his leg out, but perfectly tapped the ball to Rodri.
Somehow perfectly
that was in
waited.
Stride. Yeah.
And then he got back up and went out and got
back
after
up.
It.
I was like, oh, I got to get back up there before Rodri gets
yeah,
up there.
Yeah. I know I came out here to help you, but I got to get back to my shit.
That kind of effort, you can't buy that kind of energy.
You
and
can
effort.
For $63 million.
I'm just saying, it's just the...
Which got to be the best deal of all time.
Of course.
Is there a better transfer?
But I did hear that his salary came out, and it's like he's getting something like £900,000 a week. So he's doing. They're paying for him. It's like, yeah, they didn't put.
He's
it's not in the
trans- million a week,
pretty much. Yeah, that's what was reported. I don't know the exact number, but that doesn't sound crazy.
That's a whole lot of guacamole.
My favorite. That's his favorite dish.
Yo, the kid can't get enough of it. It's good for you.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
Michael Raymond said, does Haaland stay at Man City for his entire career? No, I don't think so.
No, that's a Real Madrid player in a few years.
Yeah, there's something to...
There's just no reason not
I think if Pep leaves, I don't see him staying much longer. His dad played there. He'll play a couple years. I think Champions League is the goal. you know, winning Champions League is...
I think they'll do it at City. I can't tell you if it's this year or not because this feels like PSG's year.
This does not feel like PSG's year.
This feels like, yo, Gaultier, dude. Y'all don't... Y'all got to stop. Y'all got to put some respect on Gaultier's name, bro. This dude is next level. He's got them playing like they're not superstars, man.
Okay. All right. I don't know. It's just there's still too much, you know. It's still... I mean, if we're going to be Farmers League, I'm not going to say that about France, but PSG are not... I haven't seen, from what I've seen so far this season, I haven't seen that they're going to win it, that they're better than what Manchester City's doing, that they're better than what Real Madrid is doing.
I'm not saying they're better than them. It just feels like
Messi scoring. Year. Look, if Messi can score, realistically, if he can be a player that scores 15 goals, which is doesn't seem like a crazy
ask.
We ain't
asking for a lot.
But 15 goals, 10 assists?
Nah.
That's a, to me, that's the form needed for PSG to win champions.
Crimson Pizza doing the math for us. He said 900,000 per week is 3.6 million nuggets per week.
Mmm, delish.
Where you putting them all?
Somebody, there was some video, Erling Haaland saying like what his favorite food was. I know he did say that he's okay with pineapple on pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just another.
So I put Robots Don't Have Taste as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I that was like maybe 3 weeks ago. And people have been like, ha, 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 shut up. You know, a couple of that. But someone recently put like, you have no taste. You don't understand good football. I was like, what the hell, man? You went back?
Okay, so I want to make sure we get to this.
Michael Raymond said, okay, but how many bagels is that?
We got to get to Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang because he's in the news recently.
Right, the man has an Arsenal tattoo, right. But he ain't talking like it. But this is an old video.
This is an old video that resurfaced, right. Or surfaced. I don't know if it was released just anywhere.
Hey, this is back when he first got to Barca.
Okay, so this was him talking. Honestly, when I saw this video, I'm like, yo, is Troops in here? Troops going to be here.
Yeah. you hear in the background, nah, blood.
But so let me make sure you guys can hear this before.
That is important.
Yeah, because it's very important that you hear it. I think you should.
All right. We're finding out whether you can hear it or not.
Yeah. This is. Yes, they can hear it. They can hear it. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to play it because it's not going to pick up on here, but I'm just going to play it and then we will react to it. So this is Aubameyang talking about Arsenal. I'm assuming he is in Barcelona when this is.
Looks like he's in a hotel room.
Right. So here goes.
To manage big characters or big players, you can't deal with it.
Doesn't have good people skills.
He needs some young players. They don't say anything. They listen.
Yeah. The young ones, yeah. But he's the one that had a problem with Ozil, right? As well. Yeah. So Ozil was on the bench for how long? A year.
Yeah.
And they're paying him big money.
Who do you think out of these young players?
Okay. So there it is. Aubameyang saying, the exact quote was, you know, talking about Arteta, he says, big characters and big players, he can't deal with it. He needs some young players who don't say anything. Obviously referring to his management style and how he handles players and things like that.
Which I'm going to sit here and say, nah, man, maybe it's just you, bro. Look at Granit Xhaka. Granit Xhaka walked off the pitch, flipped off the fans, ripped off his shirt, lost the captaincy.
Pretty big character.
That's a lot to happen in one moment. And then he's one of the biggest, he's one of the best, you know, comeback player, whatever you want to call him. He's having an incredible season. The fans love him. There's a chant for him now. Mm-hmm. So look at the comeback that he did. And that's with Mikel Arteta putting his arm around him and say, look, we had a little bit of a rough one. Here's how we come back from that. I mean, at the end of the day, people are sitting here saying like, oh, if you must love Arteta if you're siding with him versus Aubameyang. People forget Aubameyang showed up late to the North London Derby. He was in traffic in a glow in the dark Lambo, dude. That's not the car you take when you're late. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, people forget that he asked to go to Paris to see his mother. This is what we are told.
Right.
He was given permission, and this is what came up in the All or Nothing documentary. He asked to get permission to go to Paris, and then, I believe it was Paris, and then stay there longer, or Barcelona, and then stay wherever he went, he stayed there after the date that he was told he had to come back. Like, one after the other, you keep making major mistakes. You're not a good example. You're not setting a good example. And you're the captain of the team. At that point, you've got something has to be done. You didn't handle being sat very well. And now look at it. You're gone. And also, why are we as Arsenal fans? We're top of the league, bro. We've won 8 out of 9. And we're sitting here arguing about Chelsea striker? What are we doing?
I mean, look, it's English media. There's no way you're not talking about this, right? So it's even Arsenal fans, they're gonna have an opinion on their players, on former players. So it's I think it's perfect. I think it's a perfectly good thing to debate. Look, Aubameyang did respond. He put out this tweet this morning, Monday, October 10th. He says he's aware there's a video that was recorded just after I arrived at Barca. At the time, I still had a lot of bad feelings in me. Arsenal are doing great things this season, and I wish all my old guys well, just not on November 6th. Now, full-on focus on tomorrow. Obviously, November 6th is when they'll be playing against right. Chelsea. Will be playing against Arsenal.
When Chelsea loses to Arsenal, it's going to be a tough one.
But this is like a political little hit piece. You drop the thing before a game, before a big game. Mm-hmm. This is how you sell.
I mean, it's a little too early.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
but this is how you sell the tickets. This right. is, yeah, this yeah, is yeah. entertaining. It's all good.
You need a little drama, bro.
But you hear this sentiment, and you know, when I see something like this, I'm like, oh, this is how he really feels, right? His opinion on Arteta has not changed one bit.
Media speak gone.
Of course.
This
of course.
Is how I feel.
So that point in particular, like that Arteta can't handle big characters or big personalities, it doesn't seem super accurate. It's obviously coming from
Can I be honest? That doesn't seem that far off, to be honest with you. He's a young manager.
Okay.
So odds are he doesn't have the man management skills yet to deal with really big characters. I would venture to say Aubameyang isn't a big character. That's not a Zlatan Ibrahimovic coming in and saying, here's how I like things.
Right. Lying this, lying that. Right. Rawr.
I get it. Yeah. But you keep third person, even in regular conversations. But like, he's not a big character. Aubameyang is just a prick.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying that to be like a dick. Like, he seems like a great guy other than that. But you're showing up late. You're kind of disrespecting the club.
So I wouldn't say he's a prick. Maybe he's like a little just irresponsible, a little negligent. A prick is like someone you don't really want to like be around or talk to.
No, a prick meaning like it's about me, not a club. I can do whatever I want because I'm the scorer.
Hey, everybody in the chat, what's a prick? What's a prick to you?
Send photos of that to Christian Polanco.
Please DM me your prick photo.
Yeah. Give us a couple prick pics. Prick pics. Prick pics. It's not what I meant.
What is that, too?
I replaced the wrong one. I replaced the wrong word. That's like when we were in school, we used to be like, damn, look at that mother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd be like, yo, shut the up, dude. We'd do that. My friend goes, yeah, mother. Fucker. I'm like, no, you didn't. I don't think you understood.
You just, why'd you take a breath before?
No, you put a comma?
I wonder what the
Camilo Garcia put real. If you can't handle me in my worst, you don't deserve me in my best energy.
I wonder what how this will affect Arsenal fans' perception on Aubameyang, because
I think most Arsenal fans, unless you're like a massive Aubameyang fan or friends with them troops, you know, then I think you view him as, yo, I wish him the best. It didn't work out here. Yeah. You did well for us until you got that big bag and then you didn't show up, kind of like what Mohamed Salah is doing right now, right. You know? But once you got the, we had to sign him. And I know people are like, you should never sign him. Flex said this, or you should have never given him $350,000 a week. He 100% deserved it. At the time, he was scoring buckets. He scored over 30 goals. You got to give him that. And it got to the point where we were losing our best player year in, year out, year in, year out. We just had to change the conversation. We had to change the culture around the club. You had to give him the money. And I even said, I go, this guy's not going to show up next season, but you got to give him the money because if he goes somewhere else, he will show up.
Yeah.
So it's almost damned if you do, damned if you don't. You got to give the guy the bag, and this is exactly what happened, and now we see what type of player he is. And then when he first got to Barcelona, he was scoring a lot in the beginning. Everyone's like, oh, look at that. He's changed. He's the new. And then what happened? As soon as he gets comfortable, he gets a little too comfortable. To me, this is prick activity. If you want to send me
is it pricktivity? Get out of here.
If you want to send me a prick pic, just send me a picture of Aubameyang. I'm not saying he's a prick is like, I hate him, I want to fight him. I'm saying he's a prick is like, it's about him. It's not about the club. The guy's got an Arsenal tattoo, and he must never look at it. He must just not ever look at it.
Cover it up with a Chelsea one? What
right?
are you doing?
Huh? A little lion on there.
Okay.
Look at this. Your bizarro Christian Navarrete says, I agree with Alexis on Alba. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Michael Raymond said, Michael Raymond getting in the chat heavy today. He said, looked up prick on the dictionary and saw a photo of Aubameyang.
Cuco Sanchez said, Alba dressed like troops in that vid. That's great. Bro, I get it. Troops probably gave him that hat.
Right?
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt
it. Is it Gordy? Aubameyang loves Gordy, bro.
Okay. The other thing.
By the way, his own nation sent him home.
Gabon?
Gabon.
It sounds like an
Italian who eats too much. You know, I asked what that is.
What?
What is a Gabon? Gabon is capone. Capone? It's a bird that eats a lot after you cut its balls off.
Why are you cutting the bird's
balls? I didn't even know balls had birds had balls, dude. But once you like neuter it or something.
And
it eats everything after that. I guess it's sad. It eats its feelings.
Oh, my goodness. What is going on in Italy, bro? Why is it?
Bro, by the way, there was no mention of why you need to cut the balls of this bird. Just for sport?
Okay. When you reach the age of 9, where you start cutting off testicles of birds, it's a rite of passage in Italy.
Yeah, dude. Oh, this guy's going to be good for the family.
Okay. All right. The other thing I wanted to make sure we spoke about was this tweet.
Iker Casillas and Puyol
and Carles Puyol. If you haven't seen this tweet, I'll put it up right here. But I saw it went viral. It came out of literally nowhere. I don't know. I didn't expect this. I didn't understand what was going on.
I was on the plane and I started getting texts of screen caps of this.
Yeah,
and the first thing I thought is someone made a joke, and I'm like, is the joke referencing something I don't know?
Right.
Did something recently happen where like maybe someone took a photo of him where he looked like maybe he was in a relationship with a dude or something? I was like trying to figure out like what's going on.
So this was it was obviously written in Spanish. I have the English translation here, but it basically said, "I hope you respect me. I'm gay. Happy Sunday." And then under that, Carles Puyol, obviously legendary Barcelona center back, said, it's time to tell our story, Iker, and put the heart emoji and then the kissy emoji. So when I saw the tweet, I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty remarkable.
Right.
Iker Casillas, I had no idea, but good for him.
Also, I got a text from a friend who I didn't expect. It was like, I'm kind of glad the sport's at this level where you can come out. Like, the conversation shifted to what this means for the sport.
Yeah.
That, you know, players, if you're gay, you should be able to come out without, you know, obviously you're going to get negativity, obviously, on the road and stuff. But, you know, it's cool to see people supporting. And then all of a sudden, the tweet got deleted.
Yeah, the tweet got deleted.
And then people were like, no, he got hacked. And other people were like, no, he was making a joke because apparently he left his wife and is dating somebody new. And apparently reporters have been all over that. So he thought this would get them off that scent or something.
Yeah, this ain't the move, Iker. That's the storyline I've been hearing, whether that he might have either been hacked. That's the storyline he went with.
I mean, and Puyol got hacked.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all both got hacked.
If Puyol thought that this was the joke to make, like if he was being 100% serious and Puyol thought, oh, let me joke with
him.
Right. Then Carlos looks really, really bad, obviously. On a very, very public forum.
Was it did Carlos grab his phone and send that out as like he thinking it's funny?
I mean, look, you know, if you're amongst a bunch of stand-up comics, you leave your phone out somewhere.
Unlocked?
Yo, this could happen.
Bro, I know of a straight male comic that got Grindr downloaded on his phone.
Right.
When he left it out unlocked.
Yeah.
And was responding. They started sending messages to people, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the dude who did it was a gay comic who was like, actually, could you save those? Because I like some of those guys. Like, it started out as a joke, but he was like, could you?
Honestly, could you save that? I haven't even deleted that my phone yet. It's still still getting messages.
It's so active.
Wow. I never realized I was so popular.
Damn. Okay. I'm on bears.com, dude.
They keep calling me a twink. I love it. Yeah. I'm a huge fan.
But I mean, the gay comic was like, well, actually, could you please don't delete that? It was one of my favorite moments. He's like, yeah, we started out trying to fuck with you, but actually, I like these guys.
Under the context of it could be a joke, if it's a comic, you understand. Like, I mean, you can wrap your head around that story.
Also, if there was something else to it, if somebody was maybe making, that's why I thought this might be a reaction to somebody trying to suggest maybe he was gay.
Right.
And he was like, I'm going to call your bluff on it or something.
Right.
So but for this, I mean,
So let's take it as he tweeted this seriously, like, or at least he was trying to make a joke or trying to, maybe he was annoyed at all these either allegations or suggestions about his sexuality or whatever. And this is, and he genuinely thought, let me tweet this out because this will
get them off my back.
That's a very poor way to handle this.
And the reason it's poor is not because you can't tweet something out like this. The problem is this is very difficult for a lot of other professional athletes to do.
Yes.
So now you've just made this. The next person who comes out is gay, like, did you also get hacked? Are you making a joke? It's just like, why make this more difficult for them?
You have some relationship with Carles Puyol? So then the reason a lot
is it Carles or Carlos?
Carles.
I've always called him Carlos.
Like Carles Hill.
Yeah.
This is Spanish. You know
how do you not even know how to write your names in your own language, bro? You taught it to us and we got it.
But then this tweet was from Josh Cavallo, who's the Australian player that came out
while professional.
While being a professional player a couple years ago. And you can see the tweet here. He wrote Iker Casillas and Carles Puyol, joking and making fun out of coming out in football is disappointing. It's a difficult journey that any LGBTQ plus people have to go through. To see my role models and legends of the game make fun out of coming out, and my community is coming out in my, I guess, in my community is beyond disrespectful. And you can't argue with that because
Jay Hicks said they both got hacked, but by each other.
it's just,
which I could also believe they were like next to each other or something, drinking or whatever.
Maybe playing,
and one put it out, and he's like, "All right, well then I'm gonna."
I mean, look, it's just
it's so dumb. Whatever it is, it's kind of not callous, ain't the word.
It's just it's childish.
You're being a prick.
You're being a prick.
Everyone's getting it, dude.
That's it. It's a it's super childish. And look, realistically, this guy's a legend of the game. Mm-hmm. Iker Casillas have like a heart attack. He nearly died. He had a heart condition.
I remember Mourinho kind of got him. He was like considered a god at the time.
Yeah.
And Mourinho's the one who kind of ruined his career. Mourinho picks one player every year. That's all I remember.
Okay. He has a you know, big board or whatever.
That's an agenda, dude.
No, but this is the player, obviously goalkeeper for Real Madrid for years, won Champions League. The guy's a hero to so many. Won the World Cup with Spain.
Yeah.
The guy's a hero. And to...
possibly a hero to a lot of LGBTQ people.
When you're this famous and this much of a legend, you can't make this. If you're joking, if this was the joke you chose to make, you can't make this joke. I mean, yes, you can say whatever you want and the consequences are going to be the consequences. But if you want to maintain any kind of respect or standing in the world, and when you're this legendary of a person and player, you can't joke around like this. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
No, you're just too visible to make this kind of callous of a joke.
He lost 3 million followers.
That's a lot of followers.
After, so look, a lot of people, either homophobic people that thought you were gay and disappointed, or people that were just like, you're being disrespectful to the LGBT community.
Did his numbers go back up? Because whatever that number that went back up are the homophobes who left them.
No, it's interesting. I wonder... there's no winning in this situation. There's no point in making this comment or statement.
Nick Red said, Alexis says Mourinho ruins a player and somewhere Dele Alli suddenly burst into tears.
My man in Turkey is sweating right now.
I forgot he's out of Everton.
That's right. Yeah.
Jeez.
So, pretty insane.
What was the final score of Everton and Manchester United? 3-1?
2-1. No, there was a third goal from Rashford that was taken back.
That was taken back.
Because of a handball. Frustrating game. Frustrating game. Everton.
Everton were in 10th before that, right? Or 11th?
I think they still might be. Where are they now?
Defensively, pretty strong team.
Yes, they've given up, I think, the least amount of goals in the Premier League.
They dropped to 12th.
They dropped to 12th. But they've only their goal differential is negative one. And let's look at Manchester City's goal differential, 24.
Mm.
24. We're not even double digits in games yet.
Look, they're no longer double us. Mm. Arsenal's at 13.
So, yeah. Okay. Do we want to look at the table? What else is left? If there's anything else.
Let us know if there's anything else we haven't talked about. Who cares about the table?
Nobody cares. Alexis has determined.
This comes out on Tuesday. Everyone's already looking.
Literally nobody cares about the table.
Let's finalize the question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how real are Arsenal?
How real are they? Mm. Sky Sports, you listening? Are you getting somebody in your ear giving
bro,
you the...
Rory,
you,
just tweet this out so they get off your back, bro.
The YouTube title, somebody at Sky is telling us what to put. How real are they? They're very real. I mean, from 1
on
to...
On a scale of 1 to 10.
From 1 to 10, 10 being the realest.
Yeah, yeah. This is exactly who they are. They deserve to be in first place, that they'll finish out the year in first place. Or is this just a successful start?
I would say an 8. They're 8 on the realness chart. And yeah, that's they have a very, very strong opportunity to win the title. Obviously the games against the two matches against Manchester City are going to be, I think, the difference. I mean, but I do think Arsenal are that good.
I think it'll be one of those things where until we play Manchester City, depending on what that result is, no one's really going to give us the credit that we deserve.
Who cares about credit? What credit?
The credit that we deserve. We're in first place.
But you haven't won in years, so you're not going to get any credit.
We're in first place. Top of the league. Liverpool, and everyone.
The last 6 years, it's been Liverpool, Manchester City, and Chelsea.
And we've just destroyed one of them.
One of them. Okay.
Okay, but we're top of the league the entire year.
But Liverpool and Manchester City in the last 4 years have been the standard in Europe.
Well, then get in line with everyone else to apologize to me when we continue to be in first.
As far as just consistently winning games, even Real Madrid in the last 4 years have not, even and Barcelona, who dominate La Liga regularly, have not put up the trip. I mean, what? Manchester City had the 100-point, and Liverpool, right? They both had 100-point seasons, didn't they?
No.
One of them did.
No.
Or neither of them did.
I don't think anyone's ever had 100-point. City got 97, 98.
Please, somebody in the chat, let me know. Because I feel like they got one. They one of these, the last 6 years, they got 100 points once, right? Didn't they do one-on-one?
Let's see. Manchester City,
27.
Only one team have ever won 100 points in a single English style play football. Manchester City in 2017, 2018.
Right. So it has been... we're just not used to seeing this level of consistency. And until I see Arsenal, this start has been remarkable for that level of consistency. I thought the loss to Manchester United was like a fluke because they
100% was.
They've looked, because Arsenal looked,
that was a mistake by Arteta.
Right. So you know, every team can, you know, maintaining that level of consistency is really, really difficult. But bringing in Gabriel Jesus, I think, has, you know, given Arsenal that opportunity to be in that conversation of a team that could possibly, you know, I just don't see anybody surpassing Manchester City. Manchester City, I think, are on the verge of another 100-point season.
Do Manchester City go undefeated?
But they've already
they've never lost.
They haven't lost yet. They drew twice. No, I don't think anybody's going undefeated this season.
No invincible?
Not invincible, but I do think they are going to be, I think they're winning it.
This is a great question by Crimson Pizza. Is Jesse Marsh still the Leeds manager at the end of the season? They're in 14th. Someone said Jamal was right. What is it? Carlos Sanchez. Leeds at 14th. Jamal was right.
Look, they've had a couple rough results the last couple of weeks, but they're not getting blown out. They're not losing like they were losing with Bielsa.
No.
So I do think he's going to still be the manager.
I think so as well. I don't think they're going to get relegated. I know they're not playing extremely well right now, but again, they're not going to get relegated. They've had a little bit of a bad run of form. Two draws with Aston Villa and you, right? They drew against you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Everton. Yeah, 1-1.
1-1, yeah.
Couple losses around that. They've had a little bit of a bad run of form, but I think it's going to take a little bit of time for everyone to find their feet. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So and honestly, I think Patrick Bamford coming back, and I think the success of the season is going to be reliant on him staying healthy and him finding his old form because he was a great striker.
Bro, Jesse Marsh got hurt. Jesus candles right now.
I think he's great. But he just hasn't, he hasn't scored in.
He's just not he's,
months. Oh, I don't think he scored this year. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Okay.
Oh, Kirby D said, can we please talk about Rory rapping the Keenan and Kel theme song? Rory. Did you see this?
No, Rory who?
So Rory Jennings, when I was sitting next to him playing poker,
mm-hmm.
Apparently he's a big Coolio fan.
Oh, right, yeah. R.I.P. Coolio.
Shouts to, and it was just when he had passed away, so they brought it up. And I completely forgot that Coolio did the Keenan and Kel theme song.
Yes, yes.
He knew every word. But he rapped it the way, like, and I'm here to say. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
He did it like a substitute teacher would. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I went to Catholic school, so every once in a while, they bring someone in to, like, talk to the kids about not doing drugs.
Right.
And they would be like, how do we connect with these kids? I know, hip-hop. And it was, like, an old white dude who's, like, trying to do the Running Man and, like, khakis. You know what I'm talking about? That's how he rapped it. But he knew all the words.
Okay.
I sat there like this.
Okay, I can't. It's difficult to wrap my head around Rory rapping at all.
See, Rory's from the hood. People don't know that about Rory.
I do know that because, I saw one of his videos, and he is like a project kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's from the estates.
Yeah.
He don't act like it no more, but he's from the estates, bro.
Good. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
So, I mean, I'm happy for him, but like when I saw him rap, I was like, please stop.
But he's like, let me connect with real American hip hop.
Ayo.
Keenan and Kel theme song.
Listen, we want to talk streets. Okay. What was the name of the street in Disneyland where they filmed that theme song?
Okay. Oh, what I got in my Walkman? Oh, you ain't want to. No, yeah, this might be too hardcore for
my
you.
My playlist flipped to the B side of this cassette.
Oh, man. Okay.
Bro, and then he got up and danced to the That's So Raven theme song. Y'all might not have seen that because it was off camera.
Okay. So I saw SKC Fan TV earlier say that the studio is coming together. Shout out. Yeah, we finally, if anybody's not aware of you.
Move over a little bit. Let them see it. Look at this.
Yeah, we got some furniture.
We got some couches over there.
We got the lights. We got
a table back here with a little award on it you might have seen us win.
Yeah, dude. The Artelli Award is right over there. We got a little, Alexis, move over a little bit. See that little the traditional looking soccer ball, the black and white one? That's actually a cookie jar that we got.
Are there cookies in it?
There's no cookies in it. I think we got that from Fox Sports.
Yeah, I have one. Yeah, I have one at home. So, yeah. It had cookies in it until recently, and then I had to throw them all out because it's about a year old.
Cookies tend to go bad after.
Yeah. They were all individually wrapped though, so no bugs.
Studio's coming together. We're going to be doing a bunch of stuff.
Justin Freeberg said, yeah, I don't want to go down Sesame Street. That's one serious hood. Dangerous hood.
So thank you for all the compliments and support. We've been posting some stuff on Patreon of like just some of the behind the scenes stuff that's happening with the building out the studio. There's a couple other things that we're going to be doing. So as always, make sure you join the Patreon to keep up to date with everything going on. Patreon.com/soccerhooligans.
Thank you to everyone who's a member of Gully Squad. You guys are the best. We're going to be doing another no cap recap this week.
Correct.
As we're going to go somewhere pretty cool this weekend.
Right. We got some big news dropping.
One of those. I don't know if you heard that. A little drum.
We have some big news dropping. We're really excited. Again, everybody who is listening to the show and
Joe
watching.
Whitlock said more trophies in that studio than the Spurs cabinet, bro.
Well done, Joe. Well done. We got some fun news dropping real soon. So make sure Join Patreon.
Yeah. If you are a member of our Patreon, you'll know about it before everyone else, as always.
All right.
And you're going to get a little behind the scenes of it as well.
Okay. So anything else before we go? I think we're good.
Oh, by the way, shouts to one of our fans, Natalia, who was going to send us a painting of, it's called Kilo and Stitch instead of Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, I don't know which of the characters, Lilo's a little animal, doing blow.
Ooh.
That's why it's called Kilo and Stitch. And I was going to put that up on the wall.
just the kind of image we want to, you know, this we have, I think 90% of our audience is children under 9 years old.
You're okay? going to learn today,
we're the new Gracie's Corner. You don't know Gracie's Corner?
Nah.
Bro, I came up on TikTok. There's like these, it's like Sesame Street. But it's a cartoon, but it's the songs are all trap songs. But it's like a little girl
named
Gracie singing it. And it's like, yo, you'd be like, this is a bop.
No, bro. No, I did see this because parents will put this up like, yo, this is actually a hit.
Yeah, yeah, dude. It's like I'm listening to more than like the kids.
I think this is what happens when you become a parent. You're like, this is something close to my old life. I need this.
Okay. A lot, like we said, a bunch of news coming in soon. Tomorrow we'll be live on YouTube, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Shouts to U.S. We're going to be talking a lot of MLS and looking forward to MLS playoffs and WSL playoffs. We're also going to let you guys know we voted for the MLS End of Year Awards, MVP, Defender of the Year, all that stuff. We will reveal who we voted for tomorrow.
Are we allowed to do this?
We are.
Yeah?
Everybody does it. Matt Doyle just posted. Everybody does it.
Okay, cool.
Okay, allowed. What is it? Secret ballot?
It was because they don't even get your name.
Don Garber's going to walk through the door like, hey,
he
enough.
Kicks it in. he's got Charlie with a gun. Well, you got Charlie hostage, man. He did nothing.
Okay. Pablo Mauro had nothing to do with this. All right. So, yeah. So join us tomorrow or, listen to the podcast or whatever. It's always available. Shout out to the Metal Lark Farm. Metal Lark Farm. As always, boom. We will see you tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Y'all the absolute best. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.